All right, we're holding in the last Mishnah in Brachos. It's Perek Tes, Mishnah Hey. We're continuing on here at the beginning of the Mishnah with the theme of how to make Brachos, although by the end of the Mishnah, we're going to hit a lot of different topics. So the first topic continues on here. It says, Chayim Adam Levarach Al Hara. A person has an obligation to make a bracha on bad things that happen to him, on Besuras Ra, some bad news. Kishem, in the same way, with the same sincerity and heartfeltness, Shumavarach Al Tova, that he makes brachas on good things that happen to him. A person has to realize that we don't know what's best for us always, and really believe that Hashem is the Dina Emes, the true judge, and therefore, even when bad news comes to us, we have to try to be sincere in our belief that Hashem really is acting in our best interest, and to thank Him with that same wholeheartedness. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, V'ahavta eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, you will love Hashem your God with all of your heart, v'chol nafshecha, and with all of your soul, v'chol me'odecha, and all of your me'odecha, we'll explain in a second, to pshat min me'odecha. So here the drasha supporting that you need to thank Hashem with all of your heart, we say b'chol levavcha, with all your heart, and the Mishnah darshans here based on the fact that it could have said libcha, your heart, what's at the two bases, it must refer to two hearts, b'shnei yitzarecha, with the two different inclinations a person has, k'ilu, two hearts inside of him, b'yitzara tov v'yitzara, he has a yitzara tov and a yitzara, a good inclination as well as a bad inclination, and obviously you serve Hashem with your good inclination by doing the ratzon Hashem, doing mitzvahs and so. The Meforshim have two basic mahalachim in how you serve Hashem with your Yetzirah. One mahalach is that by overcoming your Yetzirah and doing that Hashem Shemaim and mindful of being Makayim the Ratzon Hashem, of doing what Hashem wants, so that is a way in which you serve Hashem through Yetzirah by overcoming it. The other basic mahalach is that even though a person is endowed with either Midos Ra'os, with bad Midos, or even there are just certain Midos which are, even though if they're amoral, but they often are used for bad things, a person should take those traits and use them in appropriate ways, or overcome their, direct their midos ra'os to some way to serve Hashem. V'chol nafshecha, and also the Mishnah continues here, the darshing with all of your soul, and this is the ikar drash that's shaykh, that's relevant to our discussion about serving Hashem, even when bad things happen to you, even yet to love Hashem and be thankful to Him, even to the point where He Himself, Ke'ilu, was taking your soul. A person's dying for whatever reason. Still, even in death, the worst possible thing that can happen to a person. A person has to say, this isn't the worst possible thing. This is the best possible thing. Hashem knows what He's doing. Also from this pasuk is learned in Sanhedrin the chiyuv to have mesiras nefesh, to give one's life up rather than transgress certain the big three cardinal sins, which are shvichas damim, avodah zarah, and gilui arayos, murder, immorality, and idol worship. And the last part of the pasuk, uvuchol me'odecha, again here the drasha applies. You have to serve Hashem with all of your ma'odecha. So the first pshat is b'chol mamoncha, with all of your money, meaning that you have to be willing to sacrifice all of your money, and rather than go over even one lav in the Torah, you have to love Hashem that much that you'll be prepared to sacrifice all your money. And a second drasha, which now again but applies specifically to the point at hand here of thanking Hashem even for when bad things happen to you, explicitly. It says, b'chol mida umida, the darshan word me'odecha as like a play on words, ki'ilu, with each mida and mida, each and every measure, shehu moded, that He measures out, l'cha, to you, whatever your particular lot in life is, whatever has been apportioned to you, whatever Hashem dishes your way, heavy modalo b'ma'od ma'od. You should thank Hashem a lot, in a great amount. And again, the drasha here, it's b'emes, I'm not clear exactly which word is the drasha, or maybe it's in generically all these words, because they all, if you look at the sentence, are very similar to the word ma'odecha. B'chol mida umida shehu moded v'cha havi mode lo b'ma'od ma'od. So, okay, very good. Now, the next part of the Mishnah here is really a new topic. We just got off discussing a person's obligation to love Hashem, even to the point of even when bad things happen to him. So now we're saying not the side of Ahava, but the side of Yiras Hashem, of all of heaven. And Befrat, the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Yotes, Pasuk Lamed, it says, Umikdashi Tira'u, and you'll be in fear or reverence or awe of my sanctuary. That's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. That's a mitzvah from the Torah to have, special mitzvah to have awe and reverence, displayed awe and reverence, and have awe and reverence for the Beis HaMikdash, which is an extension of one's yira, of his awe and fear of Hashem. So the Mishnah says, Lo yakel adam es rosho keneged shar hamizrach. A person can't have a kalus rosh. Remember we had it back in the fifth parak, a person has to be omed in tefillah with COVID rosh, with a heavy head, with seriousness. So this is yakel is make light of your rosh. You know, you're acting frivolously. The Mefarshim give examples of either just goofing around, laughing, idle talk. Others make specific examples like cutting your hair, or urinating, or standing naked, all sorts of things that are obviously not the mechubad. So a person may not be lightheaded in that way, frivolous and absent-minded, keneged shara mizrach, if he's opposite the eastern gate. This is done with the eastern gate on the wall on the outside of the Temple Mount, but the wall of the Temple Mount of the mountain itself actually was, as the Mishnah says, shehu muchuvan keneged beis kodesh hakadoshim. It was actually parallel, in line with the gate of the doorway, the entranceway to the kodesh hakadoshim. The Gemara actually says, and it's clear from different places, that in the doorway, the gateway at the Temple Mount, and the eastern gateway was actually exactly aligned with the gateway that led into the outer courtyard of the temple itself, called the Ezras Nashim, and that in turn was exactly, you know, aligned with the entrance to the inner courtyard, that's the Ezras Yisrael, and then that was again in line with the entrance to the Heichal, to the building itself of the Beis HaMikdash. They go into the Kodesh, and that again is directly in line with the Kodesh HaKadoshim placement. So if you're standing opposite the eastern gate, you're in line with the whole thing up to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore a person has to have proper kavod. Now, another point about proper kavod for the Beis HaMikdash, Lo yikanes lahar habayis, a person may not go onto the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount itself, b'maklo, with his staff. This is referring to not necessarily a walking stick to aid you, but even so, a staff. A staff is considered a sign of haughtiness to have a staff with you, and therefore you can't bring it. Uva minalo, and also wearing shoes, with his shoe, literally. Again, this, of course, is not intrinsically, but at some disrespectful to wear shoes, but we learn from the pasuk elsewhere, for example by Moshe, where Hashem says "Shal na lechem al raglecha," take your shoes from your feet by the burning bush. So you see that it's Admas Kodesh, it's a holy land, it's a holy piece of land in the Har HaBayis, and therefore a person should take his shoes off. And also he may not bring ufundaso, he can't have his punda there. It's machlokus what this pundaso means. According to Rashi, it's referring to the money belt, the place that you put your money inside, like say under your. But the Rambam learns that it's an undershirt. They used to wear an undershirt to collect sweat. They didn't shower so often then, and this was like the undershirt to collect the sweat, so their outer garments should not get it soiled. So to wear that on the outside is not a derech. It's not appropriate. It's not mechubad. It's not. It's slovenly, and therefore you can't be wearing that, your sweat garments, your inner, on the base of Mikdash. And also, uva avak shal raglav, you can't come with dust on your feet, you have to wash your feet. And also, in addition, v'lo yasenu kapandaria, you can't make the base of Mikdash and Temple Mount a kapandaria. It's a Greek word, it means like a shortcut. You can't sort of cut through the temple area to get to the other side of Yerushalayim or the mount, because it's in your interest, you know, a shortcut for your sake. You only may go there if you have business associated with the Beis Hamikdash itself. And that halacha, by the way, in Or Chaim, Kuf Nun Aleph, comes out that applies equally to Bizman Hazeh, to a basic nest, a shul, or a Beis Hamikdash. A person can't simply just cut through a shul or a Beis Hamikdash just because it's the shortest way to get where he has to go. If you're going to go inside there, you have to have some business. You see people oftentimes sit down if they're passing through a Beis Hamikdash and say a pasuk, Asher Yoshpe, or some other pasuk. Yeah, so the Mishnah continues, urakika, and spitting on the base of Mikdash, on the harabais, I should say, is also forbidden mikol v'chomer, from a kol v'chomer, which is, if you can't wear your shoes, which aren't intrinsically disrespectful, for sure you can't spit, which is just not nice. So a person who had to spit would have to spit, you know, into his handkerchief. Now, on the topic of the base of Mikdash, we changed topics, but something related. And the Beis HaMikdash, the way they used to make brachas is a little different than outside of the Beis HaMikdash. They would add some extra words, because instead of saying Amen, like we do to a bracha, they would say instead Baruch Hashem Kavod Malchus Elam Vaed. So to parallel that, they would add in their brachas a longer statement. So instead of, let's say, for example, in the bracha, first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, Magen Avraham, instead of saying Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, they would add in extra words, and the words, the Gemara says the words would be Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min HaOlam, the God of Israel from the world, Magen Avraham, for example. So those extra words, the Mishnah writes it short. They say Kol Chos Me Brachos. The Mishnah says all the Chasimas, all the endings, the ceilings, the final part of a bracha, Shehayu b'mikdash, that they say in the base of mikdash, Haya omrim, they would say, they would insert the words min ha'olam, the words from the world, although like I told you, it's Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam would be inserted there, the Lord, the God of the Jews from the world. However, mishakilklu haminim, once the heretics started using that phraseology as a proof, an argument that there is no world to come, because the Nusach in the Beis HaMikdash was just from this world, that's where the whole world is, that's the world that praises Hashem. And so then, Va'omru, they said, Ein Olam Elecha, there's just one world, this world, not the next world. Hiskinu, they established, this being Vanshe Knesset Sagadola, Shiva Omrim, that the Nusach in the Beis HaMikdash and Bais Sheni, instead of like in Bais Rishon, would simply be Min HaOlam, they added it to be Min HaOlam Va'ad HaOlam, which means from this world into, from the world and into the world, meaning from, so since there's two worlds referenced, there's no way, ambiguity that perhaps it's just one word, one world, I should say. The Mishnah in our Gemara, as we have it, actually doesn't have the word minim, it has the word stukim. Stukim, the Sadducees arrived on the scene later on, you know, in Bais Sheni, in the time of Hillel, more or less. They were, the first of them were the Talmidim of Antigonus, and they went off the derech because Antigonus had said, don't be like a servant who serves for the sake of the reward, rather be like a servant who serves when Nusach is not for the sake of the reward. And they interpreted Tzadok, and his students said, oh, you see, there is no ultimate reward, there's no world in the hereafter. But the Mefarshim say, even according to that Girsa, and that time, really, they were people who had these hashkafas, you know, these ideas, these heretical ideas, that there was no world to come, even before Tzadok, and it's referring even to them. So either way, this is the Anshe Knesset Gedolah who changed the Nusach, and the Girsa we have in our Gemara is not as Lavdavka. Okay? Now one more takana, and this is the final point we have in our Mishnah, this Takana is talking about, and it's actually a bit of a tricky read, a lot of words missing here in the Mishnah, a final Takana about Shalom, about peace, and about Hashem's willingness to forego his own honor for the sake of peace. So it says here, V'yiskinu, and they also instituted, She'hei Adam Shol es Shalom Chavero B'Shem, that a person should inquire of his friend's welfare. Shoel, inquire as Shalom Chavero, the peace, the welfare of his friend. B'Shem, even using Shem Hashem. Usually we say a person's not allowed to use Hashem's name in vain, but they said you could use, God's name, perhaps the same way we say God bless, but they would actually use Shem Hashem proper, Shem Havaya, in their greetings. Shenemar brings a proof from a pasuk in Rus, in Perek Beis, pasuk Dalet, referring to Boaz, and says, who was one of the Zakenim, Boaz was one of the Zakenim of Kal Yisrael, and he said, Vine Boaz ba me Beis Lechem, and said, the pasuk says, and Boaz came from Beis Lechem, V'yomer lakotrim, and he said to the people doing the harvest, Hashem Yimachem, he said, God be with you. V'yomer lo, and the kotrim answered back to him, Yivrecha Hashem, God bless you. So you see that Boaz initiated a greeting to them using the Shem Hashem, Hashem Yimachem, God should be with you. So you see that Boaz used Shem Hashem, that's a proof that you're allowed to use Shem Hashem in a greeting to another person for the sake of peace. Now, they're missing words here in the Mishnah, but for those who might argue that Boaz, maybe he just made it up, that's not Boaz is in a Sanhedrin, maybe there's no halachic basis for it, and you can't bring a raya from what Boaz did in the field that day, that's the halacha. So we bring a second raya. This is a raya from Shoftim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. There's a malach, an angel, came and spoke to Gidon, instructing him about making a war, and he said, the malach said to Gidon, Hashem imcha gibor hachayil. God is with you, you mighty hero, you mighty man, you mighty man, gibor, you mighty person, and valorous. So you see that the angel also, in greeting Gidon, used Shem Hashem. Now, the Gemara, again, unspoken words, flips back and puts in the hypothetical response to that proof, which is, well, maybe you can't bring a raya from an angel. An angel's an angel, it's not a human being. Maybe angels can use the Shem Hashem, but people can't. So the Mishnah now pushes back against that unspoken objection in a harsh way and says, Al tavuz ki izakna imecha. Don't, you shouldn't shame your mother, even though, she's gotten old. It's a reference to, the Archachamim or Zakenim are like Boaz. It's not right. They are elders. You shouldn't assume that what they do is, frivolous and capricious and without thought. Boaz certainly acted in a way that's kahalacha, and we can, of course, learn from the maysa of a zakin, and to not say so is a bizayon, is a disgrace to our zakenim. Now, so why did Boaz and then Hiskinu, the chacham, go with this mahalach that your person is indeed allowed to use Shem Hashem, which would seem to be forbidden by the Torah? The Omer, because it says in a pasuk. This pasuk, by the way, we referenced in our introduction to Mishnah as a pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi used to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, despite the fact that it says in Gittin Daf Samach and Beis that you can't write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. But the pasuk says Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sorasecha, which means it's a time to do for God. They have annulled, abrogated your Torah. So the simple understanding here in this part of the Mishnah is that sometimes you have to act for God because the bad guys are annulling your Torah, and therefore you have to make some sort of action to rectify that. Rabbi Nassan, Omer Rav Nassan, says he has a different drasha, and he says he turns the pasuk inside out, inverting cause and effect. He's saying that the Rabbanim, the good guys, Heferu Sarasacha, they chose to annul your Torah. They were forced to annul your Torah, to abrogate your Torah, because Eis La'asot L'Hashem. Sometimes you just have to act for Hashem, and to do what Hashem wants, you're going to have to go against the Torah. Obviously, we don't, Bezman Hazeh. It's a dangerous business to try to make a judgment when it's time for Eis La'asot L'Hashem, but Anshei Knesset Gedola, perhaps Boaz, and certainly Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, had that Ruach HaKodesh and that Siyat Dishmaya, and they made that judgment, and the history apparently proved them correct. So with that, Salik Maseches Brachos, we finish Maseches Brachos, Baruch Hashem, and we should be Zocha to start Peah soon, and be Zocha to finish all of Shas.